What do we do? What do we do when we're blocked from something we really want? What do we do when there's something that we really want to see happen? When there's something we wish for, something we pray for, something we really want, but we're blocked. We're blocked. We try harder. Some of us would get a bigger hammer. Some of us would emphasize more. That's a paraphrase for getting louder or yelling. We get angry. We manipulate. Or maybe we mope and whine and just give up or just get depressed and go, oh, forget it. Not going to bother. What happens when in our vehicles we're trying to drive somewhere and can't go anywhere and realize, oh shoot, I left the brake on. That's really good. Trying to drive my bus the first week. New bus here, I'm driving for Red River Valley School Division. That's a long phrase, Red River Valley School Division. Wow, that's a long one. And I'm lined up in the afternoon. Two buses in front of me, two buses behind me. And close the door, okay kids, let's go. And I couldn't go. What's going on? So I get on the radio. I can't get my bus going, it won't go. And then somebody nicely on the two-way says, did you turn off your lift button? Now, I drive a wheelchair bus. So there's a number of things that have to happen. A, you have to pull it out of park. Most buses don't have park. This one has park, so you have to pull it out of park. You have to disengage the parking brake, and there's one button you have to push that turns off the wheelchair lift. That one had accidentally been pushed by my seatbelt that I just put up there and put it on, obviously. So everyone in Radio Land heard that this driver didn't know what he was doing with the wheelchair bus. So I pushed the button, it started to roll, I go, yep, I'm really embarrassed. On the radio I said, I am really embarrassed. Now, I wanted to go. Everyone else wanted me to go. The kids on the bus wanted to get home. The guys behind me weren't honking. But something was blocking me from going. The Apostle Paul and his team were blocked from doing something they really wanted to do. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to get back to a church in Thessalonica. They wanted to get back. So if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 to 19, that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you. He really loved them. The team really loved this church. They wanted to go back. They really wanted to go back. Verse 18, we wanted very much to come see you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns? It's you, church. Yes, you are our pride and joy. They love this church, and they wanted to come back. But what was stopping them? Satan. What? You're the Apostle Paul, and Satan is stopping you? You can just push him out of the way. But he kept preventing, and it says again and again. The devil had stopped them and stopped them. And the word there, prevented, means hindered, impeded, stopped, thwarted, blocked. It actually means impede progress. The very name Satan actually means adversary. a hostile opponent. There is a cosmic battle that the Apostle Paul knew, and we need to know. There is a cosmic battle going on against us, against the church, and against us as Christians. There is a devil that absolutely hates us, and he doesn't want us to advance. He doesn't want us to get the things that we know we should have, or the answers to prayer that we really want. And he impedes, and he stops, and he thwarts us. In one of the books, if you're looking to read a book that really helped me understand this, was a book probably written 20, 30 years ago. It's a novel called This Present Darkness. It's a novel about how Satan worked in the town of Ashton. And Pastor Hank Bush was the new pastor of this town, and he was wondering, what's going on? I won't give you the rest of the story. But it's a novel. It's not a theology book. It's a novel. So if you're looking to read a really interesting book, one of the fastest books I read is called This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says that Satan, he is talking about how Satan might not outwit us. We are not unaware of his schemes. But sometimes we are. We don't understand. How does the devil actually impede? How does he stop us? How is he doing this to the Apostle Paul and his team? The first one is that the devil is a murderer and a liar. In John chapter 8, 44, and it says, he was a murderer from the beginning. He always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's a murderer. He wants to hurt us. Now, I'm not grabbing for things or looking at things, but I sometimes wonder, after we drove away from you, Chris and Kate, wondering, what was the devil after there? But thankfully, he didn't win. But is there something going on in our society? All the murders, all the abortions, all the harm that comes, the devil is working. And there's lies all over the place. You don't know what is truth and lies. He's behind that. That's how he works. How many times have you been lied to? And I've been lied to. That's the devil working in our culture, working in our society. He's also the one who steals, kills, and destroys. Next verse. The thief, that's the devil, purpose is to steal, to kill, to destroy us. He doesn't like us. The next one, he blinds. He blinds those who do not yet believe. At our grandparents' night on Friday night at our home, we had a great time with seven couples that showed up. It was a great time, and one of the grandparents, one of the seniors, whatever you want to call it, said, yeah, the devil seems to have blinded some people in our lives. That's what he does. We look at it and go, why can't people get it? Why can't they see how much God loves them? Why can't they see how much God really cares? They're blinded. That's what the devil does. He blinds them. And he gives deceitful spirits in 1 Timothy. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly in the last times, that's probably us, some will turn away from the true faith and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. There's the deceptive spirits, there's false teachings, there's false doctrines. There's all of that goes on, and wonder how in the world. That's why you don't bother going to the internet and type in Jesus. Because you'll get all manner of things, God. You'll get all manner of things that you're going, well, that doesn't seem right. Well, there's all kinds of error and false teachings. The devil's behind that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. He is a deceiver, the great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, the one deceiving the whole world. There's a deception all over. He's deceiving. And the next verse, 12, verse 10. says he's the accuser, of our brothers and sisters. Have you ever been accused of something that you know isn't right? And there's all kinds of accusations going all over the world. That's how he works. So what did the devil do to the Apostle Paul and his team? In Acts chapter 17, he ran them out of town. They had to leave quickly, probably in about a week or two after he started building this church. He was run out of town. He was persecuted, according to the few verses before him here in 1 Thessalonians. He was persecuted and tried to prevent them from preaching. And then he was prevented from returning. The devil really worked on him. So, what does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for you and me? Now, don't look for a devil behind every bush. You may have heard that phrase. We don't look for a devil behind every bush. That isn't going to help anyone, and that isn't helpful, and it's not true. You see, what happens is some people will take all this stuff about the devil and everything, and they'll jump over here and go, okay, he's behind every bush, and we mean to cast out the devil out of everything, including that tree. There's a devil right in that tree. We need to, that's one extreme. We don't have to go there, because the devil doesn't have to be, and he can't be everywhere. He's not, the devil is not omnipresent. He's not. He's a limited creature. Only God, only Jesus, only the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at once. Not the devil. So that's why he relies on all his different demons and his army. But some people go behind every bush, and other people go to the other extreme where they go, there is no devil. He's only in other countries. He's way across the sea. He's not here in Canada, and he's certainly not here in Rosemont. He could never live in Rosemont. We have to balance this out and go, okay, there is a devil, and he is alive, and he's working against us. He was working against the Apostle Paul. So if he's working against the Apostle Paul, can he not work against us? Absolutely. Are we any better than the Apostle Paul? No. He's working against us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I've quoted this, or chapter 6, I've quoted this before. The Apostle Paul is warning very clearly, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's what he's saying to us as a church. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm, to stand against all the strategies of the devil. All the things that we just learned about, all the things that the devil tries to do against us, we need to stand against them. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, do we wrestle against flesh and blood? Like, are there humans that sometimes get in the way of what God's trying to do or what we want? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, we don't walk around and go, I can't see you, you're opposing me, but I can't see you. No, sometimes we do have battles with other human beings. That's just part of being human, in the church, outside the church. But sometimes we need to back up and go, okay, there's something more going on here, that the devil is behind something. Why do some of the people we know or some of the people that are against us, what's driving them? And you can't say, well, they have the devil in them. You shouldn't say that. But sometimes the devil is moving against us through people. And sometimes he's working. But what we're looking at is we're realizing we need to pray because it's all up here. It's in the heavenlies. It's what Satan is trying to do, and we need to pray. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. He knew, and they prayed and prayed and prayed. And then in James chapter 4, verse 7, he says we just need to resist the devil. We need to resist him. Now, let me twist it a little bit. Or not twist it, but let me throw another angle at this. How do you know How do you know when God is stopping you? What? You're just talking about how the devil stops us. Well, how do you know if God is stopping you? And it's true. If you go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now, Paul and Silas are traveling through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because, look at that, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. What? I thought only the devil stopped this. No, the Holy Spirit was stopping the Apostle Paul and his team. Prevented them from going into Asia. Was it wrong to go into Asia and preach there? No. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit said, you're not going to go there. Then coming to the province of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia, and again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. What's going on here? I don't get that. What's happening here? Now, the word here, where it says prevented, is a different meaning than in Thessalonians. It means to forbid or to restrain. The way I look at that, it's kind of held back. In one thing, when we read about the devil stopping and impeding, he's in front of us, pushing us, and stopping and putting a block, putting a wall, putting something so we can't get through. The definition of the Holy Spirit preventing is the Holy Spirit coming up there beside and grabbing their hand and saying, no, I'm not letting you go there. No, you can't. Come back here. Come back here. We're going to go over here. No, I don't want you to go there. I'm going to pull you back here a little bit. I'm going to forbid you. Don't go. But it's not like this, although sometimes may have happened in our lives where the Holy Spirit has to step in front because we're very obstinate and stubborn and we want to go our own way. None of you have ever done that. I've never done that. But we want to go our own way and he has to stop us. Or other times he'll just say, fine, suit yourself. Suit yourself, go ahead. But all the time he's saying, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to get that. I don't want you to have that answer to prayer. Oh, we don't like to hear that. But God, that's what I want. I know. But I don't want you to have that. Because you don't know what happens if you get that. If I answered that prayer, this is what might happen. Or this is what will happen. I'm trying to protect you. How do you know whether it's the devil or whether it's the Holy Spirit stopping us? It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. A relationship with God is a loving, caring relationship. He wants the best for us. So as we're walking with Him, we'll sense Him leading or stopping us or preventing us or moving us for the best will. For the best of us and for His kingdom. Satan will, in a mean way and a subtle way, stop and hurt us and really push against us. It's different than when the Holy Spirit is gently guiding us along. What was waiting for Paul in the province of Asia? I don't know. But maybe God didn't want him to go there because of what might happen there. Jesus wanted him to go on to Macedonia and to preach there. And then there's other stories told in Acts about that. I was thinking about that in our journey. In April of 21, we were let go at a church previous to here. And so for a year and a half, we just wandered. We just wandered a little bit. We lived in Winnipeg. But I tried in different places to apply, and every door was closed. And we finally said, and Judy said, well, if we're going to go anywhere to be a pastor, it'll have to come out of the blue. And I just resolved to myself, I guess we're just done ministry. And we're starting to look for another church to get involved in. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Carol Owen texts me. Are you looking for an interim place or a part-time pastor somewhere? Yeah, just maybe. But for a year and a half, I don't know why, how many churches did we apply? 3 or 4, something like that. And every door was closed. And also, during that year and a half, God had to teach me some lessons. He had to show me some things about who He is. He had to show me some things about what He wanted me to know about being a pastor. Things I hadn't learned yet. And I need to think through. There was that year and a half of not being a pastor. And I've been a pastor for how many years before? Now I'm not. No, I'm going to set you aside. And the long ending to the great story is we're here. Had I gone elsewhere, if I had gotten a hammer and broken down, or a sledgehammer and broken down that door, one church I applied to, at 60, I applied as a young adult pastor. Wouldn't that be amazing to have on staff a 60-year-old pastoring young adults? Say yes, that would be amazing. I thought so. But God said, no. In my plan, I want you in Rosenberg. That's where I want you. Amazing how God, as we trust Him, was the devil thwarting me? No, I don't think so. Maybe he was kind of working something, but the Holy Spirit was guiding us. So, why does that matter? Why does all of this talk matter? There is more to life than just living. As we follow Jesus, we will encounter an adversary. We will have direct opposition and subtle opposition from the devil. As we follow Jesus, God will adjust our path. He'll adjust our path. Do you feel blocked? Is there not an answer to prayer? Or you feel like, God, something's got to happen here. Or in a ministry, or in a relationship with a friend, or a co-worker, where you're trying to witness, or try to help, or try to encourage, and everything just seems to block. What's your motive in trying to do what you're doing? That's something I talked about that a couple weeks ago. Is Satan blocking you? Or is God stopping you? Is there an alternative to what you're trying to do? Is it about timing? For us, it was a big thing about timing. God wanted to give me a year and a half to just work on some things. It was all the timing. So what do we do? What's our application and our reflection? Submit to God first. Submit to Him. What do I need to learn or see? Trust Him. He's got it. Resist the devil. Persevere. Keep going in your relationship with God. No matter what's blocking you, just keep your relationship with God. And then, in prayer and with others, problem solve. You see, what happened here in 1 Thessalonians is they figured out a way through. And it says, I believe it says here, I thought it said here. I thought it said in here that, and that's what happened. We sent, oh yeah, verse 2 of chapter 3, and we sent Timothy to visit. So they couldn't go as a team. But he got Timothy, his right-hand man, to go to Thessalonica and do all the teaching that needed to happen. Because if Paul would have gone there, the whole town would have been erupting against him again. But he sent Timothy. That was the other plan. That's what they had to figure out. So what does God want for you? And me, and anything that we're praying through, anything we're trying to work through, what does He want for you and me? To wait, to trust, to pray, and to look for another way. So let's stand, Cody and Scott, if you want to come on up. And I'm going to read some verses that really encouraged me the other day as we were working through the Hearing God seminar. And I kind of stuck on this chapter. The rest of you are taking it, you're kind of moving ahead already. That's good, I'm stuck here. Look at these verses, listen. David writes, "Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they'll soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire." Now, sometimes our heart's desire is, I want that. But He's going to adjust our heart's desire, and it'll be really what He wants. It'll be the best. Commit your way. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like noonday sun. This is the verse that really got me. Be still. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank You that You love us. You have so much in store for us. And we want to follow You and obey You and love You. So we submit to You. We submit to You, God. And we resist the devil, but we submit to You and trust You. We love You, Jesus. Thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen.